Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
This actually story kind of comes out of D.C., where the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was going to introduce legislation, and presumably he did this because this was written back, you know, a couple weeks ago, to decriminalize marijuana on the federal level, which would be an amazing first.
Yeah.
Adding a high-profile advocate into the effort to decriminalize, legalize, and normalize marijuana use in America.
Given the current administration, it seems like a far-fetched idea.
Well, who knows?
Right.
I mean, things are starting to change.
Right.
And even the Republicans are going to have to admit that at some point, right? And there's been a lot of kind of scary talk about, what is it, the Jeff Sessions?
The Attorney General, right?
Yeah, the Attorney General. That he has been talking tough about ramping up the war on marijuana, but a lot of those headlines seem to be kind of sensationalized, and there hasn't really been, from what I understand, any real fire. Like, a lot of smoke, not a lot of fire.
Right. Not yet, anyway.
Right, not yet. Well, I mean, we're 2 years in, basically.
Yeah, true.
You know, on the Trump administration. So, and we're still seeing more states moving towards legalization. Massachusetts is supposed to be swinging the doors open on their recreational stores coming up this summer. I believe July is the target time for that. So, you know, not just Massachusetts, but, of course, Maine and California and Nevada also passed via ballot measure recently. In order to end prohibition, it's very likely that the politicians are going to have to be thrown the bone of regulation. I don't like it. I don't support it. But it's still better than prohibition. To have a regulated marketplace is better than prohibition, because even the black market has gotten better because of the end of prohibition in these various different states. So in places like Colorado and Washington, where now cannabis has been legal to use for recreational purposes and to sell for a long time, there are still people who are doing it illegally, right? There's still people who are growing marijuana without a permit. There's still people who are selling marijuana without a permit. And there are still police going after those people. So, you know, in my opinion, that needs to end. But unfortunately, it's the process that most states are going to have to go through to end the prohibition. That is to say, there needs to be a regulatory structure in their mind created around it to continue to give the government control over this thing, because they act like marijuana is some sort of devil's weed still, and that even though they're letting people use it, they still need to have complete control over it. And I think that's unfortunate, but it's just that's been the reality. I hope that some state can break that trend.
I'm an NRA member, and I don't always approve of everything the NRA does or says, but I recognize that from a Second Amendment point of view, they're the big 800 gorilla in the room. And politicians respect the numbers that we bring. I don't know what they currently are, but I'm willing to bet you they're north of 5 million.
Well, they're the big gorilla, if I may. They're the big gorilla in the room, but that's just because they've got more funding than the other gun organizations. They are not the most principled pro-gun gun freedom
organization. Oh, no, not by any. The Second Amendment Foundation is much more principled than they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't have everything. And the Second Amendment Foundation, if I had the extra money, I would donate to them or become a member of their organization. But I've got a limited amount of resources.
I've also heard good things about Gun Owners of America and Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership. I've heard good things about them as well.
Those are, one is a very good organization. The other one is just a chance for Larry Pratt to mouth off on Alex Jones' show.
All right. Well, go ahead with the point you were trying to make there.
But it's still, the work of carrying forth the message of freedom, I think, is a little bit more important than a slight disagreement about, you know, Roger Ver.
I don't really care, you know, in terms of Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash. I just look at, you know, what I've seen, again, Roger over the years and his advocacy for freedom and things that are open. And his, you know, people are saying he wants a centralized platform when all I've ever heard him advocate for is general decentralization. And I know what's going on with Bitcoin and Bitcoin Core, you know, and Blockstream. And, you know, to pretend that that's somehow more decentralized to me seems ridiculous. And then also to look at just, hey, if you want to go and buy, for example, a soda with Bitcoin, You're gonna pay the average what, 150, 160 fee now?
What is the fees right?
I think the average fee right now is $1.50.
Okay.
Or something like that.
I spent like 40 cents on a recent transaction, but I don't know if that's the average.
Whatever. It's not lower than a credit card. It doesn't make sense. It's not lower than credit card fees, it doesn't make sense, folks.
Right.
It makes it stupid.
They'll admit that Bitcoin is not a currency. Yeah. Anymore, that Bitcoin Core BTC is not a currency, and that's not the way it was originally designed. It was designed to be something you could buy a cup of coffee with, and right. The fact that people aren't willing to use it as a currency is proof of that. Roger Ver's never told us what to say. He's never told us which opinions to have. In fact, the hosts of the show have different opinions. Chris Reitman, who's our Thursday night co-host, he's a big BTC fan. He's experimenting with the Lightning Network. So, like,
I haven't spoken to Roger Ver since I talked to him about Bitcoin in 2012.
What, at Porkfest?
Yeah.
That was back when he was, what, handing out those Cassatius coins?
And I have one. And it is an error coin.
Which means it's worth even more.
Yeah.
So Roger never told you what to say about Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or which opinions to hold. He is a sponsor of this show, but he's never told us which opinions to hold.
And that error coin, by the way, has both Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash.
It does, and Bitcoin Gold and all the other Bitcoins.
Yeah, all the other.
On it, however, 60 or 70 or something like that, or dozens of these things that they have now. And I don't agree with Roger's opinion. Roger says, one of the things that one of these boycotters sent me today, because I heard from another one of them late last night after we were done with our show, there was a guy who sent me a message, Johnson, a former Amplifier, saying he doesn't listen to the show, but mm-hmm. he noticed we were talking about Bitcoin.
Okay.
He sends me a note last night after the show is over saying he heard that we were talking. He noticed we were talking about Bitcoin, but he doesn't listen to the show. Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky took a baby step in that direction last week by introducing legislation to permanently decriminalize hemp, a non-psychoactive byproduct of cannabis that has been a boom for Kentucky farmers in recent years. So some states have decriminalized hemp, others haven't. But to do it at the federal level would be a great thing.
I think that we will see soon politicians wearing sport coats and blazers made from hemp.
Or maybe they'll start getting dreadlocks and
necklaces with the beads.
The reversals are fueled by a growing number of states that are successfully experimenting with changing marijuana laws and enjoying the revenue they're bringing in to help their cash-strapped states. Colorado, as you know, voted to legalize the drug for recreational use in 2012. Hard to believe it's already been, you know, more than half a decade since then. And there's essentially no lingering political dispute anymore about its merits from either party there. Senator Cory Gardner from Colorado waged a battle against the Trump administration this year, and he's a Republican, by the way, this Cory Gardner, after Attorney General Jeff Sessions rescinded an Obama-era memorandum that advised federal law enforcement to deprioritize marijuana for prosecution. Gardner held up Trump's nominees for the Justice Department until he received a personal assurance from the president that this administration would not crack down on states that have legalized marijuana. 30 states in the District of Columbia have already passed laws legalizing marijuana in some form, such as for medical use. 9 of those states and D.C. have gone a step further to legalize the drug for purely recreational purposes. Marijuana is also making healthcare advances this week, as the Associated Press reported that a group of U.S. health experts on Thursday endorsed the use of a medicine made from the marijuana plant to treat seizures in children. I think that's an important thing to point out here, because some people have said, oh my God, we can't allow children to have cannabis, because again, there's still a certain perspective out there that marijuana is the devil's weed. It's evil. It's going to corrupt your kids. It's going to corrupt adults. It's going to destroy things. We've got to have the government to control this thing. And so those kinds of people have been pushing back against medical marijuana, saying, well, you can have it for adults, but you can't give kids marijuana. Well, it stops their seizures.
Right.
Don't you want them to not have seizures? This works.
It's going to slow their mental development in a way that seizures will help.
Right. Because a seizure when, you know, you're driving your car or whatever, having a seizure and then having a car crash, that's not going to help. You know, that's going to help your mental development if you take a fall after you have a seizure and crack your head open. So the Keene contingent was arriving as this was happening. So I wasn't able to get video, but luckily Garrett Ian, who's one of the bloggers from Free Concord, he got video of this. A state trooper comes down the steps from the state house where it was prior to 4:20. So it was maybe like, I don't know, 3:30 or something like that, 3:40. He comes down. Of course, people are smoking pot the entire time. Not everybody waits until 4:20. So he's coming down the steps and he says something like, anybody smoking marijuana here, you have to leave. Get out now. And some of the more like inexperienced attendees, they started to kind of pack up and walk away.
Right, right.
But the majority of the crowd stood their ground. And Rick Nye and Rich got on the microphone, were like, you know, encouraging people to stay. You've got a right to be here. This is public property.
I think it would have been funnier if somebody had just gotten on the microphone and started laughing. That would have been a great response, in my opinion.
Either way, the cop, the state trooper, who's I've seen around the state house, I think he's kind of stationed at that mm-hmm. location. He recognized one of the state representatives because we actually have state reps out at the 4:20 with us and have for years. So one of the Republican state reps came up, shook the guy's hand. There was some words exchanged, but again, I couldn't hear what you can't mm-hmm. hear it on the video. And then the cop turns around, he kind of walks back and he tries again, but he's much more defeated this time. Right. And he says, if you're smoking marijuana, please leave.
This is a thing that's been being talked about for quite some time, but it's going into effect finally. So people have been talking about this for a little while, but now it's finally going into effect, and it's going to be ridiculous. So with the title of the article from fee.org is, "That silly Obamacare rule that forces restaurants to change their menus is about to go into effect. Within days, chain restaurants and grocery stores nationwide will have to comply with a high-cost, low-value Obamacare menu labeling mandate. Failure to comply with the law could land shop owners in prison for a year with a fine of up to $100,000. Wow. A huge burden. The controversial provision within the Affordable Care Act goes into effect on May 7th and requires food service businesses with 20 or more locations to list nutritional information for food items on all signs and printed menus. Congress had many chances to amend the rule to make it more flexible and reduce the 14.5 million hours the Office of Management and Budget estimated it would take to comply with the mandate.
My God.
But despite bipartisan support, lawmakers failed. Pizza shops, for example, estimate that the rule would cost up to $5,000 annually per shop. Proponents of the rule say it's a simple way to give consumers information to make healthier food choices. It's so laughably stupid. If you're ignorant of the lack of healthiness of eating at like major chain restaurants, you probably have larger problems.
Yeah.
You know, than your diet. You know, like your education, for example. Putting this information out there is, I mean, first of all, in most cases, it's available for the people that actually want it.
That's true. They used to have
look it up online. Ask for like the separate nutritional menu that they had that. All have.
Right.
You know, like
anybody that wants to know can ask at the register and they'll hand it over to you.
It doesn't have to be on every menu and sign.
Apparently now it does.
I mean, apparently now it does.
But only for chains with over 20 locations.
Right.
So if you've got some really unhealthy stuff at a smaller chain, no problem, right?
Essentially, what the real purpose of this law is, if you can read between the lines of government and you're not an idiot, you realize that the reason why this law is put into place is to prevent chains that are under 20 from becoming more than 20.
Because then they'll have to
lobbyists from larger chains wanted to drive out competition. This has nothing to do with protecting consumers. If you believe that, you are a moron.
So you're saying that this was actually created by like McDonald's or Burger King, these mega chains, that they want to see this happen?
I don't have direct proof, but I mean, if I were to go looking for it, I would find it. If you're lucky enough to be watching, cam.freetalklive.com?
That
you could have been
one place,
watching me chowing on a vegetarian burrito.
That's right. You went vegetarian recently.
Well, not completely.
Okay.
So for example, a couple nights ago I had some sushi, but
vegetarian.
Pescatarian, yeah, I guess that would be. Yeah, I probably haven't had any kind of other kind of meat for a couple months.
Okay. Do you feel different?
Yes.
Really?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Better?
Yeah, better, yeah, cuz I'm largely what I'm doing and is in terms of the calories that I'm taking in, I'm attempting to take in massive amounts of fiber.
I see.
Fiber and micronutrients in general. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, I'm attempting to, like, just sort of heal my body a little bit. I probably should try some fasting, but I haven't really been able to do that quite yet. There are some other things that I need to cut out of my diet. Diet soda would be a really good example. Cutting back on salt massively. Mm-hmm. But, you know, step at a time.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I did a low-carb diet for a very, very long time. And at the end of, you know, eating low-carb for several years and working out five times a week and losing, you know, 80, I mean, probably total, if you were to count over a longer period of time, you know, well over 100 pounds. At the end of that, I was diagnosed with diabetes. I made a Facebook post recently based on some things that I've been reading about saying about sugar and obesity and actually aggressive and violent behavior. Hmm. And if you look at a map of, you know, where obesity is in the country for numbers, that's much more reported than obviously violent crime statistics are, because local governments are obviously trying to hide those as much as possible.
Yeah.
But you can see a massive correlation. I mean, correlation doesn't equal causation, but it's certainly interesting. But there's another movie out there called That Sugar Film, which is available, I think, if you're Amazon Prime, you can watch that for free. But that movie is also interesting. Again, it just talks about, you know, sugar in specific, and soda and all these different things. And it's interesting because, yeah, again, a calorie is not all calories are created equal. I mean, you can eat a huge amount of broccoli or a burger,
yeah,
right, for example. And they might have the same amount of calories, but which one's going to leave you feeling fuller? Right. And people talk about, you know, oh, protein, you need protein in your diet. Well, there's more protein in broccoli than there is in steak.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
So you just have to eat a whole ton of it, right? You would have to eat a lot of it to get the, well, that's not a bad thing, right?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, you have to eat a lot more of something, so you're going to generally get fuller.
A lot of businesses, by the way, had already had calorie counts added to their menus. Now, whether that was in, you know, advanced preparation of this happening or just something that they felt that like they should do to be competitive, now it's a mandate. Now, mm-hmm, every single restaurant and I believe bars also have to put calorie contents, according to what I was reading. So alcoholic drinks have to have calorie contents, mm-hmm, listed next to them now. So menus for fast food, menus for any restaurant chain that's got 20 locations or more, and presumably bars that have 20 locations or more. I don't know what all the details are here, but at the very least, they're going to have to put calorie counts on the menu. I'm not sure what the regulations are surrounding that. I'm looking at a picture here that I searched for on Google showing at least one menu at a place called The Bistro, and you can see the calorie counts are right, basically right next to the prices.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're in a different font, or not font, but a different color font.
Right.
And so, you know, there's like maybe a more light gray for the calories, and then a black price for the actual price. But I gotta say,
there are like size requirements. Like, could you put the calories really, really small?
The ones that I've seen so far seem to be the same size.
Right.
So I don't know. There probably are some requirements, I imagine, in the regulations. If it's like 579 calories and $7.79, mm-hmm, the customers will be like, wait, you rang that up wrong. That's supposed to be 579. It's right there on the sign. And, of course, the clerk's going to say, oh, no. That's the calorie count. See, it says C-A-L next to it.
Right.
That means it's calories. Right. But they're going to be confused, even though it's, you know, might be clear to us looking at it. And you might be like, oh, customers, how could you not know? They're not going to know. They're going to be like, well,
my
you're
home
trying
country
to
is Caledonia. You don't accept my currency?
Right, yeah, some sort of foreign currency, right? Or that's Canadian money or something like that. So that's the kind of stuff that is going to happen at the register. That's my prediction, and I bet you there's people out there in food service who've already had this happen after their restaurants implemented this early.
On a side note, I just had this thought rattling around my brain here. As you said, you know, a customer's goal might be to go in and satiate their hunger. I always find that very weird that the word is, you know, that you would satiate your hunger with a feeling of satiety. It's not, you can't say the word anymore how it really should be pronounced, because if it's satiate,
uh-huh,
then it should be say. Yeah. I misspoke during the last segment there about I called the time between eating, I guess, when food first hits your mouth and your stomach, to a feeling of satiety to, I think I called that transit time, and that's not really what transit time is.
Okay.
But transit time, the transit time of different foods will have generally a large impact on how full or how quickly you gain that feeling of satiety from
transit time. Like
transit time
in,
is
the, all the way to out, like
yeah, exactly.
From your mouth to the other end.
I was gonna say, hold a hole.
Okay.
Yeah, in to out. Yeah, that is the complete definition of transit time. But because, you know, foods that move through slower through your system also tend to be slower to cause you to feel full.
Gotcha.
Generally. I mean, different people also process foods differently. So, you know, and I'm also not in any way any kind of medical professional. So
no, but you know more than I do. So what else is there to say about this?
Okay. So if Congress wants to enact laws aimed at improving public health, they should consider whether their actions won't backfire in terms of consumer behavior. Overall, studies conducted in cities that already instituted similar menu requirements, like New York City and Philadelphia, find that nutritional disclosure has no appreciable changes on consumer behavior.
According to some of the people out there, those who are advocating the sugar tax, they say Mexico put a sugar tax into place recently, and they've had sugary drink sales drop. According to the story here at The Sun over in the UK, and again, the UK just put into effect a sugar tax, and I was curious to know, is it going to be like the US-based sugar taxes that are just on soft drinks or, you know, sugary drinks, or is it going to be on actual like candy or other products that have sugar in them? And as of right now, it is like the US taxes, where it's only applied to sugary drinks. According to the story at The Sun, the sugar tax was announced by former Chancellor George Osborne in his budget statement in 2016. The money raised will go to the Department for Education. The new levy is being put on drink companies, which will be taxed according to how much sugar is in their beverages. Two categories of taxation are set to come into force. One relates to the total sugar content on drinks with more than 5 grams per 100 milliliters, while a higher levy is imposed on drinks with 8 grams per 100 milliliters or more. The sugar tax came into effect April 6th, so it's been going for about a month in the UK, and hopes of a U-turn by Prime Minister Theresa May were dashed. The tax is estimated to raise around £520 million, which will be used to fund sports in primary schools. There are these online marketplaces where people will buy and sell drugs, for instance, as well as other illegal products and services, and they use cryptocurrencies. And these started back in 2011 when the Silk Road launched, and it was very popular until 2013 when Ross Ulbricht was arrested and accused of being Dread Pirate Roberts, who is the operator of the Silk Road. The government thought they were going to send a message. Well, the only message they sent was that there was a market opportunity because they arrested the Silk Road operators. That meant that a bunch of other operators who would have loved to gotten into that business went ahead and got in and opened up a bunch of other darknet market sites, many of which have either been shut down by the federal government or did what they call an exit scam, where basically the market operates for a period of time and everybody starts to feel comfortable with it. They put their Bitcoin into it and then they fold up shop in the middle of the night and they take the Bitcoin and they run. Now, you know, that's not to say those things can't happen with Monero. They certainly can. It would be even harder to trace because Monero is basically untraceable and it's, you know, a privacy coin. So anytime you're involved with darknet markets, your money's at risk, obviously. But the fact that they've embraced Monero, to me, is a real endorsement of Monero as, you know, sort of the key privacy coin out there. But Johnson, have you done any research into privacy coins? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, probably Monero. I don't really know. Maybe Zencash.
One of the issues with Monero right now is there are some forks going on with Monero, or some threats of some forks. I'm not sure what the current status of these are. I don't know if you've been following this at all, but there's like a Monero Classic now. So you remember how Ethereum forked from Ethereum into Ethereum Classic?
Apparently there's also a Sumo coin, which is also a fork of Monero.
there's like three or four, seven or something. Like there's a several different forks of Monero now, and I don't, I've not followed all the details on that. I find it a little overwhelming. And further, as if that weren't confusing enough, Johnson, if you were to go to the Monero website, you'll find that the most recent version of the software is like 0.11 or something like that. But they recently released 0.12 and then pulled it down. So they released a whole new version, which is what started this whole forking of Monero conversation, because Monero was going to release a new version, and the people who supported the old version were saying, well, we're just going to keep going with the old version, so hard fork, now we've got two Moneros, and the new version got pulled. You can't go and get, as of the last time I looked at the site, which was last week or something, you could not go and get the version 12. The version 12 GUI for Linux wasn't working right for some people, and so that's probably why they pulled it down. But in order to get Monero working, I've had to like cobble together different pieces of the software that no person with like zero technical experience would be able to accomplish.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.